Episode 286 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons, brought to you by DRF Sportsbook. There's a lot going on in January of 2022. The DEI Council has got a little drama that came out on this Sunday. KF extended through 2029. That guy's going to be here forever, and we love it. Our friends are playing in the NFL. Lindy, he's going to the NFL. Tristan, he's an all-pro. Lot to talk about. Let's have a day. Let's go. Episode 286 of the podcast. Daddy's back. I know everybody listening and my two co-hosts are going to absolutely hate that comment, but I'm in a belligerent mood this morning and I'm looking for every argument that could possibly come to me. So I'm starting this one off hot. Just know that there's going to be flagrant and potentially unwarranted things said on this podcast that I do not apologize for. Kluver?
It's not good, Kev. It's a bad start.
I started drowning out the first 30 seconds of the podcast. So
just everyone, every single episode.
Yeah. Yeah,
just exactly. Just disregard. You think the fans have done that too?
Yeah, probably. I mean, there's a nice skip 30 seconds ahead button on the iPhone. I think that's what a lot of people use.
Everybody just catches up at about a minute and a half in.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Every once in a while. So for those that aren't direct associates of Drake, which is, well, I would say 99.99% of the listenership of this podcast. There might be a couple of you who have Drake's number out there. Every once in a while, there's just a text from him. You know, we decide when we're going to record. And then the following text, which basically ends the conversation, is, "I am nuclear today. So y'all are in for one." And then Kevin and I both probably individually, I know I do, sit there and go, "All right, well, this could be the end of the brand today." And we just kind of sit back and hope that everything goes okay. Would you like to, I mean, before we, cause there's one thing specifically that could get kind of dicey in here, that came out a few hours before this, but what was nuclear before for you?
All right, listen, man. So everybody knows I train jiu-jitsu a lot, and everybody knows that sometimes when it comes to wrestling, any grappling, when you spend time on mats, you can pick up microbials that give you an infection. I think I have a staph infection in my middle finger. My middle finger's all swollen up. It hurts like a motherfucker, barely works. So I text my coach. I was like, "Hey, is this something I need to take care of right now? What should I do?" He's like, "Go to urgent care. They'll get you taken care of. They'll put a shot in it. They'll give you an antibiotic. You'll be good in a couple days." I was like, "Cool." Look up the urgent cares. Oh, first of all, jiu-jitsu canceled today for the third time this month because inclement weather makes it so that these fucking morons in the South, these inbred hillbillies, can't drive. So they got to cancel gyms. I spend $200 a month on a membership to this gym, and three times in the month of January, I can't even go train and get the demons out of my brain. I mean, motherfucker, that's not a good start to the day. And then urgent care also not open. Two different urgent care facilities, half hour drive around Nashville for no reason, because online they say they're open, they won't answer their phones, and they're closed in person. So it has not been a good morning. And if my friends lose today in football, could be the end of me.
Okay. All right. So everybody take a deep breath. Just everybody, just big, deep breath. Right, Kev? Big, deep breath, little meditation. Om, right? Everybody at home, go om and send some positive vibes Drake's way, because that's definitely, you know, we really don't want the jiu-jitsu aggression to have to come here. We love when the calm, serene Drake shows up to the podcast, you know, the aggression and all the whatever's going on in your brain. I wish we had some way to like look inside your brain, like a movie, because that would be 5-star rating. But all right, cool. So So you've got chlamydia on your middle finger, and that's all good. And all good. So, all right. Well, I hope that you get that taken care of. One of our friends, though he's not playing, shout out Ike, on the mend. But the Bills absolutely took care of business last night.
And hey, Kovac, how you feeling right now, bud? I know you're listening. You're one of the 0.01% that has my number. And we were texting last night, and Kovac was – you know when somebody is so mad that they're calm and they're trying to, like, tell you that they're calm? And you know what I'm saying? When, like, you've toppled over, you're just belligerent and you're just like, you know, whatever, like, fuck them. Like, they just suck. Like, they're going to suck for 2 years. Like, da, 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 da. You know what I'm saying? He was in that kind of, like, spin cycle mode. Well, the Bills put all Patriots fans, all mass holes, in a coffin last night.
It was pretty aggressive. And maybe the most impressive play of the entire night was from
Micah Hyde. Shout out. He might have the play of the playoffs. That interception was like Willie Mays.
Yeah. First of all, Mac Jones is good, and he dropped that thing in a bucket. And if Micah Hyde doesn't track that ball down, it's a touchdown. And out of nowhere, Micah Hyde shows up. Unbelievable play.
That really could be the defensive play of the playoffs, for real.
And yeah, if it was it was early in the game when they were about to tie it up. It ended up not being as big of a factor, but
I'm just saying, take the play itself that he made, you know, sure. That like that individual play.
Yeah, no. And maybe they score on that. It's a whole different ball game, right? Like it could have swung. More impressive is that he's 10 years deep in the league and he's playing safety at that level. He was just named an all pro. Wow. That's extremely impressive. Now, somebody else who was named an all-pro, and I distinctly remember the three of us sitting here saying that it would not take long until Tristan was regarded as the best right tackle in the entire league. And
top flight security of the world, Craig, not just the city, world.
I don't know. Did you get that reference, Kevin?
That's a Friday reference.
Friday?
The movie Friday? Oh man, one of the best all time.
Okay, never seen it. I'll probably get trashed. Me and Kevin get trashed on the internet for not seeing
it. Never seen it either.
What I do get is the fact that DRF Sports is absolutely the place for you guys to go and do any of your betting. They are live as we speak, I believe. I'll check on that. But DRF Sports, they are every bettor's dream with exclusive data, betting trends, analytics, expert advice, all in one easy-to-use place. DRF Sports also offers a free-to-play app, sports predictor app called DRF Cash Grab, 100% free in the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. Just download and start predicting and win some money. DRF Sports, bet smarter. And we're going to be betting on some of our friends this weekend, so we're excited to get into that. But we sat here and said Tristan will be the best right tackle in the world.
It took him 2 years.
And it took him 2 years. He's an all pro. He's a
pro. It probably didn't even take him 2 years because he kind of got robbed last year of a pro bowl. If you look at his stats, he was really freaking good as a rookie.
Not pro bowl. This year, all pro. All pro.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. He was on the precipice in his first season and then got the job done in year two. And we also said when his contract comes around, he will be the highest paid right tackle in the league. And
he might be the highest paid tackle, period. I know they pay the left more than the right typically, but like,
I'll tell you this. Hey, he's not going to have problems getting groceries.
I tell you this. He's going to renegotiate after next year.
Dude, Tristan's going to have God money. Wait, like George signed for a big contract. Tristan's going to have all of the money. There's nothing left for anybody else.
Right, because Florida doesn't take a state income tax.
They don't.
And
oh my God.
He's going to sign a 5-year extension worth something north of $120 million with probably all of Georgia's contract guaranteed. He probably gets $75 million guaranteed. And in Florida, $75 million goes a lot further than it does in San Francisco.
Oof, you're right on that. That's a little different. And the best part is that Tristan will probably like buy a new truck and then just like, it's whatever.
And pay me 10%.
Bro, that deal.
I'm so ass hurt, man.
Can you imagine 10% of that deal? You would have got like $12 million. Oh my.
Which I would have had no, I would have had no part of this one. It was only the rookie deal.
True.
But it's whatever. I'm so proud of the kid, man. I mean, like his life story is
unbelievable,
Michael Orr-esque.
Unbelievable. And like it's movie worth. Like he's the hometown.
It is for sure.
He's the hometown hero. He's.
Can you imagine if he goes on to be one of the best players of all time?
Hall of Famer.
And he and they make a movie out of him. Oh, that would be so freaking cool.
And the only the lip.
I wonder if the part where me offering him money illegally would make the film.
Has to. It has to be in there. Like you got to. We have to.
That would be cool.
Yeah. We should, if he gets a movie made, we should definitely negotiate a small cameo. The walk-ons have to make a cameo in that movie. I mean, even if it's just like part of a college clip and we're in the background, like, hey, bring back some of the old teammates. We'll put on pads to be in the shot.
So you're saying when they make a movie about him in 10 years, you want us as 37-year-olds to pretend to be college students in this movie?
Put us in pads. The three of us will be in shape. I mean, Drake. Debatable if he'll still be around at all, but you and me we'll still, I mean, dude, I've seen some 50-year-olds who look jack. You put a helmet on them, who knows? I mean, Manders looked 56 when he played, you know.
When you're right, you're right.
So we'll be fine. Just very selfish of us to, or me to even think of that, but I just want to be in the movie. Come on, Tristan.
I think it'd be so much fun to be an extra in a movie sometime.
Oh, it'd be amazing. It'd be fantastic. Honestly, I think Drake, you'd be I think you could be a movie star with just how off.
I've been telling my mom for a while that I can act because I'm so like disconnected from emotion most of the time, except for anger. Like, I don't really have, besides anger, I don't have other emotions really. Like, I had to figure out how to feel love. So, I'm like half a zombie inside. And because of that, I can act like I'm anybody. Like I can just pretend to be anything or anybody because I have no connection to who I really am.
I don't know if the...
I got an A in basic acting.
We know why you got an A in basic acting, Kevin.
Why did I get an A? Because
I'm good at acting. You do not want me to bring that up. You don't.
Good at acting.
Okay. I'm going to say it, Kevin.
Good at acting.
Kevin,
you tell me otherwise.
Yeah. All right. I'm about to blast you then because Drake wasn't in this class. So,
but I know Kevin's personality, not an actor.
So, Kevin, talk
to the grade sheet, man. Talk to the grade sheet.
The teacher.
How bad did the teacher want to bang you, Kevin? That's the big thing.
200%, dude. So bad that the scene that she chose Kevin or the exercise, we'll call it an exercise. That she chose to work on in front of the entire class, mind you. Okay, we're in a circle, sitting on the floor. The whole, and Kevin, you know where I'm going with this.
Oh, I remember this, yeah.
She, I still can't believe that this happened. I can't believe that she got you to do this. She had him choke her.
Pretend choke. She was teaching you how to pretend.
Rape choke? Like thumbs together, rape choke?
Thumbs together. He was on top of her, straddling her.
You put the thumb under the chin and you don't actually squeeze down on the...
Drake, I'm telling you, this happened in front of... You can ask Vandenberg. You can ask me. You could ask Budgeta. You could ask...
Bo was in there.
Well, I believe you, dude. I don't need to ask anybody else. I believe this story happened.
We watched a porn scene with Kevin and our teacher, except for they had clothes on. And she loved it.
Very exciting.
She absolutely loved it.
And to be honest, Kevin probably loved getting pegged also.
Yeah, that happened afterwards, I think. I don't remember that, if that was true or not. But
I mean, you said he was sitting there straddling her. He's getting pegged.
Yeah. Anyway, that's why Kevin got an A in basic acting. Your boy got a B.
Because you were not a good actor. I was.
Well, no, that's because basic acting was one of the easier classes that I took in college, and my average grade was a C. So then when you do a little better, you get a B. but Kevin got an A because the teacher wanted to take him to her dungeon. And that's just what it is, dude.
I don't know. Be better looking. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm 100. I'll admit to the day I die that you're better looking than me, especially in college.
True.
Especially in college. But, you know, it is what it is. Speaking of the NFL, the final piece of the puzzle, we really thought that it was maybe going to fall in, right? Turns out we're going to have to look for a young gun to snap the ball for us, or maybe somebody to move in from the guard. Who knows? We'll figure that out as spring ball draws near. Tyler Linderbaum, the best center in the country, projected to be the top center picked in the NFL draft since 1968. Going to make all the bags as well, has decided that he will declare for the NFL draft. There was a lot of teetering back and forth. Obviously,
dude, I wonder how much internal turmoil he dealt with.
Or if it was
kind of a foregone conclusion that he knew that he couldn't turn it down no matter what. And he was just thinking for a while, just like weighing all his options, getting the advice. But really, he was like, I can't turn this down. Or if he was really, truly about to do it.
When he announced and it was finally like, okay, he is going to the NFL. The first feeling in me was like, duh, you have to, you can't turn that down. You have to do it. And I think it was always going to be, okay, this is a clear decision. And Lindy was internally fighting with, okay, how many notches on the other side of this chart can I find? How many reasons can I find to come back to Iowa? And will it be enough? And I think in the end, there was probably 10 or 12 notches that were like, hey, man, this is a good idea to come back and have fun and play with your boys and be the best center in college football 2 years in a row and yada, yada, yada.
And be the best ever, the best center of all in college football history. If he wins the Remington twice in a row,
yeah.
Or the Outland, is the Outland or the Remington?
Remington.
Okay.
And then you look back over to the other side of the picture and there's 6-0 sitting there with a number in front of that. And it's like, I can't do it. I can't. And I would love to. We're obviously going to reach out to bring him on. I don't know how much we'll get out of him. I don't know if he's a talker much or not, but I think he will let into some back and forth. Cause I don't think this was an easy decision. I don't think that he draws this out. I mean, the date you guys are hearing this podcast on the declaration date, and it only came out 2 days ago on Saturday or Friday, 3 days ago. So Lindy's not the type of guy to just draw this out for drama. Right. I think he was back.
He's the nose nonsense Brandon Sheriff type.
Yeah. And he also went to the official Remington Award banquet last night in Lincoln, Nebraska, happened to be. And evidently in his speech, when he got up and he accepted the award, he said, this is my third trip to Lincoln and the third trophy that I'll be taking home in as many times. So. And that was Steve Rowe quoted that one on Twitter. He's like, I can't hold this one back. I gotta put this out there. That is, that's some good trolling. That's just, Lindy's undefeated, baby. I mean, he's, what a legend. And I'm happy for the kid and I'm happy for us because now, you know, maybe he'll oblige and give us 30 to 40 minutes of his time. I would love to hear about him just dominating D linemen, just making guys look like absolute fools over the last couple of years. We'll try to make that happen for y'all. Let's move on to this quickly. Drake, I was tagged in this a lot, and I'm sure you were sent this a lot. And I'm going to make sure that
you... I wasn't. So yeah. So whatever you're about to say,
no,
I
you was were. Not sent. You definitely were. This is from George Kittle.
I'll just give you guys this because it was fun. Apparently I used a body bag quote that, you know, they use in their locker room this entire week. And I was saying it was for both sides of the ball, you know, whoever it is, Rams or Niners, someone's leaving in a body bag. And we go down 17-0 and I had five guys chirping me in the ear that, hey, you guys are putting you in a body bag, Kittle. And I was like, a lot of time up on that clock, boys. And hopefully I can see them again because that was a fun body bag game.
Unbelievable.
Only I can see him again was an all-time quote, because that's him insinuating that they're no longer a part of Earth. So hopefully I can see them again. Oh my God, the kid is a savage.
I'm pretty sure it's, I hope we see him in the playoffs again.
I think it's two-sided. I think he actually meant like, I put him in a body bag, so hopefully I can like go to their funeral and see him one more time. Maybe he's insinuating that the next game they play is their funeral and they put him away again or something. I don't know. Either way, the immediate thing, do you think that was at all Drake Kulik inspired, or do you think he pulled that one out, or like,
nah, he said it was a quote that they had used in their locker room. He had that one teed up already. Somebody had, he had read that many a times throughout the building.
Mm. Still, very.
I wish it was for me though. It, like, I'll take 50% of the credit. Like, I'll just, or whatever they, you know, in a movie, you got everybody who's important, but then you got, you know, some like co people. I'll just be one of the co's.
Okay. You're like the B list.
Yeah.
Hilarious. And then he walks off. He goes, ha! And that's the best part. He's just having so much fun. Just, and like, the best part is the other team, they're like, that's just George. Like, they're not going to be even, they think that's entertaining too. So very, very funny. That actually happened like over a week ago, but we just haven't had the chance to bring that up on the podcast yet. So that was pretty great. And yeah, real quickly before we go to some other bigger stuff, as we did at the end of this year, the Moneyline betting curse was pretty handy for us towards the end there, especially for that Wisconsin Minnesota game. And when the schedule came out, Kev, and we went over that last week, someone said, is there any way that we can throw down a way too early Purdue Moneyline bet for next year against the Hawks? just to like really, really, you know, settle this and really base it way far out so that we can get this going.
We can legitimately declare it right now that Purdue Moneyline is a lock.
It's a lock when they play the Hawks next year for sure.
And that's an all-time tweet, whoever said that. That's hilarious.
I believe it was actually in the Discord betting thread. They're like, is there any way we can lock in Purdue Moneyline right now? Because we got to find a way to beat those guys. Hopefully, without Karloftis and David Bell, we can make that happen. I'm still not confident, but we'll talk about that when the time comes. So Sunday, which is when we are recording this, before the games, because we're about to have a nice little NFL Sunday, as Drake alluded to in the beginning, our friends will be playing here shortly. What friends do we
have? Every game has a friend in it.
We have friends in all games?
Every game has a friend in it.
What's the...
Tristan's leading us off. Anthony Nelson's leading us off.
Oh, which by the way, then, Anthony Nelson's got game balls like the last two games. This kid,
he's a stud.
Bro, he's playing. I watched a highlight film of him over the last like month. Dude is absolutely tearing it apart, and he's at an athletic level that is unheard of. He's playing out of his ass, dude. Unbelievable.
And then we got George playing in the mid game, and Ben's capping us off at night.
Yes. And Hitch, right? Hitch is still playing for
still there.
Yeah. So
Austin Blythe's there.
Blythe is on the Chiefs now.
I did not realize that Blythe was on the Chiefs.
Yeah, he's been on the
Chiefs. That's my bad.
Yeah, he's been there all year, I think. Just low key hanging around. Yeah, man, it's gonna be fun. This morning, it was announced that, and I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on this, but if I don't bring it up, hey, I'm racist. So it is what it is.
What?
What? Back when all this stuff happened in 2020, that's now 2 years ago. It's 2022. My goodness. Part of the move forward progress from all that was a DEI council. Is that what they're calling it? Let me look at this shit. A DEI committee, advisory committee. The purpose of this committee was to help improve the culture with outside perspective from guys who were previously on the team, had been a part of the program, right? This council was headed by David Porter, who I believe, Kevin, you may have a better memory than I, but I think he was an honorary captain when we were there.
He was. I believe it was, I want to say it was the first game of
Yeah, I do too. Was it Wyoming?
Our senior year, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. So I remember that, and from what I remember of David Porter, he was spoke well, had a good message, good dude. He was a former offensive lineman, great player at Iowa. He was the head of this council. This council was made up of 7 African-American former players and 3 former Caucasian players. I only say that because it's in the article, and it matters because it's about diversity and inclusion. Long story short, KF decided to, how do they put it, dissolve this volunteer group as of 10 days ago or whatever. The article says that this decision came after a meeting on October 18th, a contentious meeting on October 18th. From what I gather, they were trying to like have meetings and do a bunch of shit during the season, which we all know is already jam packed for these coaches. They're already spread thin. And this committee was trying to like get stuff out of the coaches during a time that's like really not the best time to throw extra shit in there. I understand this is an important cause, but nevertheless, whatever. And that led to David Porter in that text of 10 people, not with KF directly in it, but just the 10 people on the committee, saying at some point that it's time to bring in a new head football coach, a new football staff, and a new athletic director. And he said that Ferentz is loyal to a fault and will fall on the sword for his son and his staff because that's the right thing to do. And he disagreed. The only way for David Porter to see him save the legacy, to protect the program and to help the kids, is to continue to move forward at the same time, is for him to retire.
What is his,
David Porter, you can sit on a 7-year extension.
Cause he feels like does it have to do with goals they have in D&I, or is it because he feels like Brian is not doing a good job as offensive coordinator? Does it say at all why he wants them gone?
When he mentions that he'll fall on the sword for his son, I don't know if that refers back to when Brian was accused of things, or like, you know, there's been so much hate of Brian this year that's like, is he just pissed off that the offense wasn't playing well and that's why he wants a new football coach? Regardless, and this is my personal opinion, I think if you're the head of a DEI council, it's not really your spot to say that, especially one that Kirk brought on and like helped choose you as the head of that council and the rest of the council, probably not your place or your job to determine that we need an entire new staff, head coach, and athletic director. Like, you have important duties, but determining who...
So many of his statements were so ignorant. Like, will fall on a sword for his son? No shit. What father won't fall on a sword for their son?
I'd like to ask him. Yeah, I'd like to ask him if he wouldn't fall on a sword for his son. Like, just, you know, like, as it goes down, it talks about how, again, they were supposed to have a meeting within the season, and they asked the coaches to bring a response, each one of them to bring a response of how they were helping to bring more diversity, equity, and inclusion to the culture. And
dude, I'm trying to win football games. How's that?
I think that was I didn't have time to read through this whole article. I breezed through it real quick, but I think basically the whole thing was like, hey, like, can we push this to December when we get some time, or can we push this back? And David Porter wasn't happy with that. And so that, and then there was whatever, either way.
So this is all over social media or what?
Well, it's in an article, but no, this was like behind closed doors, like within the committee. He's like, hey, I think we need.
Right. I understand that. But now that the article's out, you know about it and you're explaining it to us, is this all over social media?
I wouldn't say it's blowing up anywhere close to like when the racial stuff came out in 2020, but it's a topic of today. Yeah. On Twitter, people are reading the article.
Are they shitting on this guy for saying so many things that are just ridiculously ignorant?
Some people are, you know, you have your every once in a while comment that's like,
who wrote the article?
It's written by Vanessa Miller and John Stepp. It says at the top.
What outlet?
The Gazette from Cedar Rapids. So, you know, here's my thing. if you think it's a bad look that KF dissolved, it also says that that him saying that we need a new head football coach and a new staff and a new AD is not part of the reason why KF was going to dissolve this group. And at the beginning of the article, it says that as we start the new calendar year and prepare to move forward with our preparation for the 2022 season, I am giving thought to how we restructure this sort of committee and board in a way that best serves our program moving forward. So it's not like he's just completely getting rid of this initiative either. He's just for now tabling it. He dissolved the current committee and whatever. Regardless, here's the end of it, right? You create a committee to help out your program. Head of said committee then eventually says, hey, we need to axe this guy and his whole staff and the AD. Okay. Well, at that point, things aren't
gonna be your own people sometime, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. At that point, things aren't going to be working out anymore. It's not a productive committee anymore. Even if they were doing good things, this guy has a secondary agenda to get rid of KF, get rid of who, by the way, through this whole thing has been backed by plenty of the same players who came out and said it. Well, it was Coach Doyle. It was this, it was that, the other thing. Like if you're trying to stage a coup, you're out. You can't do that and still be expected to be the head. Like, you don't make those decisions, David.
What do you think? To be honest, man, I don't know this guy. Never met him. I want to fight him right now.
There we go. That's sensible.
I do know he's not a big KF fan. Never has been.
Then I'm not a big David Porter fan. David Porter, sit on both these, bitch.
So there's my thoughts on it. If you got a freaking council and the head of the council wants you out, then you're probably not going to keep the council around. And that's irrelevant of any of the information they were trying to provide you, you were helping them with, whatever. Doesn't matter. It's just not going to work that way. So, and even then it said that wasn't part of the thing. I'm moving on because I don't give a shit. The more important news is that
KF got a 7-year extension, 2029. What's up?
He ain't going nowhere, baby. He just signed a 7-year extension, not a 7-year, 4-year extension, to extend his contract out another 7 years from right now through the 2029 season. Mind blown. We just had an episode like a month ago that was like, hey, how long do you think KF stays around here? Like, especially after what he went through 2 years ago and all this shit. I thought there was no way he'd want any piece of this thing past 2025. Turns out I'm a dumbass. In fact, we made the joke. Everybody on Twitter, you would have loved it, Drake. Everybody on Twitter was like, well, KF just signed an extension. That means the walk-ons are going to be around for another 7 years now. They can't quit on us until 2029 because on the episode that you were just absent of, Drake, Kevin and I were talking about we answered the question from one of the Discord people. Where do we see ourselves in the next 10 years? How long is this podcast going to go? All that. And our answer was like, hey, this podcast as it presents 100% right now is probably not going to be around in 10 years, or it will be very different, or there will be different aspects to it. And then KF goes, he throws the bird to us and he says, hey, guess what? I'll be around for another 7 years. So we'll see who outlasts who. And
he's for sure going to outlast me on this podcast. There's no doubt.
Yeah. That's what I said. Well, on the episode last week, I said, when KF is gone, Drake's definitely gone, and it may happen before that. So get your pens out, boys, because the contract extensions are in the mail. The podcast contract extensions are in the mail.
All right, man. We're locked in for another 7 years, and I'll just, if I have to retire, I have to retire.
God, that's a lot of talking on microphones. God damn it.
Dude, how about our own Discord trying to fire us?
Yeah, okay, here, Kevin. So this is what the Discord thing was. And for people in the Discord, you'll recognize or be aware of this. Because of the episode we came out with, it was like, oh, I don't know how long we'll be around. So the fans were sort of like, you know, there were several of them who were like, no, don't, we want you to stay around forever. And that we love that you guys are, that you enjoy the podcast and you want to have this podcast for a long time. We do too. We're just saying that in all likelihood, eventually it will not be a thing, right? And so then one of our Discord members was like, I think what he was insinuating was, okay, well, if you're going to step down from the podcast or discontinue it, why not at that time pass it off to some other walk-ons so that
I'm pretty sure he said something like, you guys should have other guys host anyway, like you should transition to have other people host because they're going to have better perspective or whatever. And I'm like, hold on, pump the brakes. Don't say shit about perspective, because the three of us are pretty much the only reason that anybody has any perspective about Iowa football, because we've done our due diligence of putting in the work that none of you could have ever dreamed of to get to the point where we actually know what's happening. So you guys are extremely welcome for what we do on this podcast. And if you're trying to replace us, then you can suck me.
That's so narcissistic. It's not even.
I think the guy had a valid point.
That's
the guys more recently graduated from the program are going to have a little bit more of a finger on the pulse.
And I think that's all he meant was like, hey, if you're going to just stop doing the podcast, ask a few other guys to just pick it up. And so it doesn't die. Like who would be more recent?
I think that's 100% a great idea.
And Drake took
That's not how it works.
But Drake took it as this guy was like, suggesting that we just step down because we're getting further away and they just replace us, even though we still want to do it. And that, I don't think that's what he meant, but Drake took it as like, fuck this guy. He's trying to get us out of here. He's trying to David Porter us. Oh God, I'm cramping. Fuck. And I don't think that was the case, but yeah, Drake's liable. If you join the Patreon, Drake is liable to absolutely just torch your head off. Like he's got a flamethrower and he's just liberal with the usage because, from the beginning of this podcast, you guys know he's a loose cannon. Drake, loose cannon, Kulik, his middle name. That's about it.
They call me No Fuse.
Yeah. I mean, you're just an absolute anomaly of a human. And I think that people, I think that people, some people out there think that you're kidding when you say stuff or that you're like doing it for a show. And every once in a while you do intentionally.
Once in a while, I just try and hit the gas a little bit, right. Razz people.
But a lot of the times it's just like, and Kevin and I are just numb to it. And we're just like, all right, move on. But other people are just probably sitting at home like, holy shit, did he say that? Like, can he say that? So it is what it is. Let's talk a little bit about the games today and what we're thinking. I know Kevin got real juicy this morning in the chat. It was like, hey, what are we thinking, boys, about these lines? What are we thinking about the bets?
Are we gonna do this parlay, Kevy?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Let's talk.
Let me Venmo you $20. Yeah.
So what are the bets here? What did we decide on?
Well, I think we for sure decided on the home.
We're going to take
Kevin. Yes!
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Yeah. Light it up. We'll do it one more time.
Fuck it.
We got it on the soundboard. Might as well use it. Let's win, baby.
All right. Not just the walk-on parlay, but the Benton Street parlay. We're taking the Eagles plus 7.5 today. The Bucks are a little tore up, especially at receiver.
Yeah.
7.5 is a lot to cover, especially in a playoff game. We got the Niner gang plus 3.5 at Dallas.
Bang, bang, Niner gang.
I like the Niner. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just like the way the Niners been playing.
I do too. And they got
to
use Jordan.
Oh, we actually forgot to shout out Chauncey and Brandon Smith also.
Oh, shit. Oh, and Chauncey's
actually like a homie of the podcast.
Yeah, Chauncey's been killing it too.
Sorry, yeah, Chauncey. I'm not cheering for the Cowgirls today, but love you.
Yeah, I just like the way the Niners play. Cowboys can be inconsistent at times, man. I don't know. I'm just taking the 3.5 points.
The Cowboys aren't great in the playoffs either.
Kev, have you already put this bet in, or can I get in on this?
I've already put this bet in.
Nah, fuck me.
And then we got the Chiefs covering the 12.5. I mean, the Steelers just kind of – I don't know how they found themselves in the playoffs, but they did.
They almost didn't with the Raiders Chargers game.
I mean, Big Ben's got literally nothing left in that arm anymore.
Dude, he's got nothing left in any body part. He's shooting blanks.
The dude was probably hoping that
that game tied.
That the Chargers and Raiders would tie, because he was like, fuck, man, I'm tired.
And I have to go get my – dude, that guy's probably snorting lines of coke or anything just to get up for 60 minutes of game time.
Dude, when I watch him play, it just looks painful the way he moves now.
He turns 40 in March, and
– he looks like
– and he didn't take care of his body like Tom did. So he feels like a 40-year-old. And have you seen the list of injuries over the course of his career?
You know what it reminds me of? Is it reminds me of I always had ankle problems when we were playing.
You got skinny ankles.
Yeah, Thinnest ankles anybody's ever seen.
Skinniest ankles ever. Sprained them all the time.
If you're listening to this podcast, you have thicker ankles than Kevin.
And Phil Parker one day told me, he's like, Jesus Christ, you look like an old woman. You look like my mom getting out of bed with those ankles. That's what it looks like watching Big Ben play right now.
That boy hobbles around like a wounded deer, a big deer, a fat deer. It's the whole joke is this is, you know, I think maybe Barstool made it, or maybe it was just Kansas City people. But it's like, welcome. Everyone's welcome to Big Ben's retirement party. We're hosting it in Kansas City on Sunday, the 16th of January, and everyone's welcome.
So I think the Chiefs cover the 12.5.
I think they do too.
Chiefs defense actually been playing pretty well.
So. Better than they did in the early season.
Yeah, they are. Who do you guys like to win it all?
Man, that's a good question. I don't have confidence in the Bucks.
I have my pick.
I'll
wait.
It's hard to argue with how the Bills played last night.
The Bills are my pick because of how good their defense is, and it's going to be extremely hard for teams late in the season to beat that defense. Their offense looks good, and their defense looks unbelievable.
Yeah, you're right. You know what I love?
And watching what the Broncos – you remember when the Broncos took Peyton Manning to a Super Bowl victory?
Yeah.
Or did they lose that? Yeah, they won, right? They beat Cam
Newton.
They
won one, lost one.
In that Super Bowl.
Yes. Correct?
Well, anyways, that defense completely carried that team. Like, Peyton could really barely play anymore. He was Ben Roethlisberger out there in the Super Bowl, and his defense still carried him to it. Josh Allen is playing, like, Pro Bowl-level football.
Yeah.
And to be honest, man, that team's going to be extremely hard to beat.
They will be. My favorite part of this year is I think five teams could win it.
Oh yeah, this is the most wide open it's felt in a long
time. Like, I wish college football was how NFL is shaping up to be. I think any of the you can't count out Tom, and Ike just said this morning in the chat, like, the way he gets his team up for the playoffs and finds a way for just to will his team to victory, he's just got something special. I think the Bills have a chance. I think the Titans have a chance.
Titans have a chance, man. If they get Derrick Henry back and he's really healthy, that team is tough to beat too.
If the Rams play really, really good, they can beat anybody. The Chiefs obviously are always a contender. I mean, you're looking at 5-6 teams that could win this thing. I'll selfishly just like say the Rams. I'd love to see the Rams win it again just because they're sort of my team, but I don't think they will.
Dude, can you imagine how incessant – or is that not incessant? What's the word when you just absolutely cannot put up with somebody? Like Jake Gervais, like if he has a Super Bowl ring, Oh, God.
I can't
put up with that.
If he wins a Super Bowl ring, man, I think somewhere in the fine print, like, we have to sell him this podcast because he's the ultimate walk-on at that point. Like, he beat us into the ground, just bang, bang, bang. And then he throws a ring on the finger. Like, we can't even have him on anymore because he'll just come on and give us one of these.
You know what he's going to do? He's going to come on. He's like, you got to call me daddy now. I'm daddy.
And we have to do it.
I'll never listen. That's my son from Davenport. I will never. But if my son wins a Super Bowl ring, God damn it, I will be green with envy.
Yeah. Oh, I'll be jealous as fuck. Kevin, who's your pick? And then we'll wrap this thing up.
I think I like the Packers out of the NFC.
Oh, I forgot about the Packers. A Rodgers.
Oh, we forgot about the Packers. How did we forget about the Packers?
There's literally six teams that could win.
Yeah, I think I like the Packers out of the NFC. AFC, man, I feel is wide open. I feel like.
What if Big Ben and the Steelers?
I feel like the Chiefs, Bills, Titans, any one of them are
I agree.
Are right up there. I think I'm taking the Packers.
Gun to head, you take the Packers?
Yeah, I think so.
I like it. I like it. Hey, I like the diversification. We're one of us could be right. Packers, Rams, Bills. We got a chance. We'll see.
And I think the matchup that I would pick most often is Packers Bills.
Would love to see that. Wait, yeah. I would love to see that.
I think the Bills would have the advantage in that matchup, but I feel like they're going to have a tougher road to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they have. It's a week after week thing. Side note: the game in Buffalo was like 6 degrees, -7 wind chill. Looked absolutely terrible, awful. What it does set today up for is it's going to be an incredible day of football. I'll actually be going to Kansas City today, not to watch the game, but to go and meet my wife, who's at a volleyball tournament, and then hang out for a couple days.
You have to drive to Kansas City right now?
Yeah, that's why I was
instead of watching football.
That's why I was all about recording this before the games happened so I could get there. But it's going to be an incredible day of football. We get to watch our friends play, as we mentioned, and bang, bang, Niner gang. We out this bitch. 286.
Brought to you by DRF Sports. Thank you guys for tuning into another episode. We appreciate you guys coming back each and every time. I want you guys to have a fantastic week and a fantastic 3-day weekend. You're listening to this on a Monday holiday. So we'll be back next time. Walk-ons out. Peace.